now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
And welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-movie podcast from Class the Colts and the Cheese in Between. The movies are B, but the entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti, and another solo effort from me. And this time, we're going back to 1990 to look at Shadow Zone. And we'll get to it right after this.
Project Shadow Zone, Captain Hickok.
In the dark of a lifeless sleep.
By taking subjects beyond normal levels of dream state sleep.
A research team.
We discovered that a parallel dimension exists.
Is exploring the world beyond dreams.
There's something I think you should see.
What is it?
I don't know.
Someone's trying to gain entry to the project.
It's a shadowy realm where science ends.
This is very dangerous.
It's coming out of the darkness.
Do something!
I can't. Something's overriding the program.
Yeah. Where your darkest fears are given life.
It can assume the physical nature of human thought.
Become any size, any shape it wants.
It became what Kidwell was looking for.
Where the distance between sleep and death,
there's no way out,
is just a nightmare away. Louise Fletcher, James Hong, Sean Weatherly, Shadow Zone.
Shadow Zone was the second of three films released by Full Moon when the company was under the title Full Moon Productions, following 1989's Puppet Master, and was followed by Meriden's Kiss of the Beast. After these three films, Full Moon changed themselves to Full Moon Entertainment. This film saw its initial release January-February sometime in 1990, distributed by Castle Hill, as it was included in the list of new films as coming soon. And then it saw its home media release on VHS by Paramount Home Entertainment February 22nd, 1990. It's moved and released several times by Full Moon in various different ways and forms. I watched mine on Blu-ray, being the newest form of home media release that Full Moon has used. Your director and writer is J.S. Cardone. Now, J.S. Cardone, some of you might know his name for being the writer director on The Slayer and The Forsaken, as well as Shadow Zone, and then also being the writer on The Covenant. Your producer, is Carol Nottenbrook. Your cinematographer is Karen Grossman. Your music is Richard Band, because it is Full Moon, so you know Richard Band is going to be involved there, because Charles Band is who is creating this or making these movies. Distribution by Full Moon, of course. Your release date, technically February 22nd, 1990, but it definitely was listed earlier with an 88-minute running time. Budget, I don't have anything substantial that I can report as being actually accurate, but we all know that these movies were made with the idea that with the eye towards keeping the budgets low and with the biggest return on investment. And the story goes a little something like this. NASA Captain Hickok arrives at Jackass Flats Proving Ground, a subterranean research facility. Mostly abandoned in 1962, it now houses Project Shadow Zone. Hickok has been sent to investigate the death of a Shadow Zone test subject, and Tommy Shivers, the latest of the maintenance staff, escorts him through the facility where we meet Dr. Einhart, the second in command under Dr. Van Fleet. She introduces Dr. Kidwell, Wiley, the sole computer engineer, and finally, Dr. Jonathan Van Fleet. The experiment consists of inducing extended deep sleep, EDS, in two remaining patients while they're in sleep chambers. To prove it isn't life-threatening, Hickok insists that the test be done again with all the same parameters, only longer this time, and Van Fleet reluctantly complies. The male subject's veins begin to swell and eventually his head explodes. The computer system malfunctions and blows the site's main power transformer, causing an emergency shutdown, sealing off the lab. Van Fleet, Kidwell, and Hickok enter the test lab and move the female subject's sleep chamber into the computer lab, where Wiley notices a fifth life form present on the heat signature screen. Earnhardt tells them to get out, and that John Doe has arrived. Van Fleet seals them in the lab and is attacked and killed. Earnhardt explains that the sleep experiment uncovers a gateway through the unconscious mind to a parallel dimension where they are made contact with a life form dubbed John Doe. All right, let's hang there for a second. So I've done covered a lot. So this movie, you can see very quickly, if you were not sure that the budget was lower, yes, you can definitely see it. It's fine. It's not a problem. If you enjoy Full Moon movies, this is totally within the normal realm of what you would get from them. The acting is just standard stock acting, nothing crazy here, nothing too major. Your main stars here are Louise Fletcher, David Beecroft, James Hong, and Miguel A. Nunez. The two test subjects are completely naked in their chambers, the female one looking like a very, you know, buxom young lady, let's put it that way, and they have no problem showing her bared breasts. But that's part of the appeal in these Full Moon movies, a little TNA, you know, for everyone kind of, you know, to kind of move things along. The movie kind of, it's not dull, but there's not much happening. It's just kind of explaining everything you're going through until it actually, everything goes wrong. And now we have a situation where now the new life form, is now trapped in there with them. And that's when things start to pick up. All right. So, where are we here? So he says, sorry, I lost where I was. John Doe. Okay. So did he shoot? Okay. Sorry about that, folks. Literally, I had to cut it because the gardeners came and started literally doing all the yard work right outside the window. So where were we? Oh yeah. So she theorizes that John Doe has entered the dimension through the remaining male test subject. Wiley finds John Doe is no longer on the lab's heat signature and theorizes the creature can expand and contract its molecular structure at will, making it essentially a shapeshifter, and escape through a drain pipe. The creature, also mildly radioactive, triggers the site's emergency airlock installed as a failsafe for the nuclear research done in the 60s, sealing them underground. Wiley and Hickok go to fix the transformer, and Shivers and Kidwell go to the site to get the site's cook, Mrs. Cutter, while Earnhardt stays with Jenna, the female test subject, who cannot be woken until the main power is restored, and to monitor her. All right, so now is when things start to pick up. Again, I'm not saying that, but the first part of this movie kind of, not that it drags, but it's just kind of slow, and then everything starts really picking up, because they really want to make sure they give you what you're coming for. Because if you're just a lot of talking and stuff, you can get talking in many other movies. Here, we're going to get some people getting ripped apart or implied ripped apart. Here we go. When Kidwell investigates one of the lab monkeys screeching, she finds the cage mangled and radios to Shivers to help her search. Meanwhile, Cutter hears one of her rat traps go off. While she reaches into the wall, a massive deformed rat bursts through and tears her arm off. Kidwell finds the monkey and the radios to the others, but Shiver replies that he already has the monkey with him. Kidwell screams as are heard over the intercom as the monkey she found mutates and attacks her. Shivers finds Miss Cutter's body and panics, shooting his shotgun wildly in all directions. Wiley and Hickok abandon repairing the transformer and try to find Shivers from the noises he's making, but only find chunks of flesh splattered on the wall and ceiling. Okay, so this is, yeah, like I said, this is when things start going absolutely crazy. People getting ripped apart. There's just, you know, this creature is able to shapeshift. It's turning into a giant rat. It turns into itself from a monkey into another creature. They definitely play off of the idea that it can definitely shapeshift. Again, very much, you can take a lot of the inspiration here from John Carpenter's The Thing. Even if you may not necessarily feel that, but it is, you can see a lot of those things. The forced isolation, the ability to hide in objects that you can see, instead of just taking over a host, it's actually turning itself into it. Not exactly the same, but inspired, I would say. Where are we? Wiley manually powers up the elevator, but it shorts out and only Hickok is able to get inside. Wiley's blood splatters the elevator window as he's pulled off screen. Hickok climbs through the top of the elevator and up to the lab's level. In the computer lab, Earnhardt is fascinated by the creature and theorizes that John Doe not only shapeshifts but can take the form of human thought. Kidwell was searching for the monkey when encountering it, and Dr. Van Fleet, before he ran off, called out a phobia that he was recording in the psychic evaluation, indicating it took the form of the worst fears before killing him. The power suddenly returns, as does the creature, to the test lab. It takes control of the computer system and tells them it's dying and needs to return to its own dimension, willing to spare them if they help it get home. Hickok hooks up the female subject to the test lab, and they induce EDS to the same parameters that killed the first two patients, opening a portal to the other dimension. Earnhardt insists on seeing it in person and sticks a metal rod into the portal, watching as it's pulled through. She steps in and briefly disappears before stepping back out, saying excitedly, "There's thousands of them." The metal rod is shoved out of the portal and through her chest, because why not? Put a portal in our dimension, we'll put it through you in the other. The creature steps out and examines the Genus pod, roars at Hickok before pulling Earnhardt's body through the portal with it. Hickok sets to destroy all the computers with a fire axe before an electric shock throws him back and he's knocked unconscious. He wakes up to find the female subject awake and lets her out of the sleep chamber as the credits roll. This, of course, sets up a sequel that we never got, but it could always be there. So Full Moon put this out. Like I said, it was released in the 1990, but then they had a DVD in 2000, but it was discontinued for copyright reasons. Since then, it's been re-released by Full Moon Entertainment on DVD several times. It's part of Volume 1 of the Classics, along with, and it's on Full Moon, other Full Moon like Arcade, Bad Channels, Seed People, and Netherworld. It's not a bad movie. It's definitely something I had never seen. I had never seen this before. But that's not unheard of for certain Full Moon releases, because I'm not the biggest Full Moon fan. It just happens to be that I do enjoy them. It's just that it's not necessarily that I'm seeking all these movies out, especially since they were never wide release. You had to buy them, you had to rent them or buy them through there. And I've seen a lot of the Full Moon stuff with Luke. I just never saw this one. So do you remember this one, folks? Is this one that you enjoyed? Do you remember seeing it? Do you remember when it came out originally? Did you rent it at like Blockbuster or Movies or Hollywood Tonight or whatever rental store you went to? Do you remember seeing it as part of Full Moon? Did you buy one of the box sets? Love to hear from you. Let me know. Again, the Blu-ray of this is probably as good as it's ever going to look. It's interesting. It has some nods here and there. Obviously, I said the Carpenter's The Thing. There's some stuff there. But overall, well worth the 88 minutes, kind of 90 minutes of time it takes. But, maybe not one that's readily available to everyone. So, all right, folks. Well, that about wraps it up here for this one today. I want to thank you all for the downloads and listens. Obviously, you being supportive of the show helps me grow this brand, and I appreciate all of that. I appreciate all your support. And of course, as always, folks, this is a labor of love because we all do this to provide you content so that you can maybe find some enjoyment in the stuff we find enjoyment in as well. All right, so like we say here, folks, at Bots, Bugs, and Babes, keep those cards and letters coming, and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at BotsBugsBabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag BotsBugsBabesPodcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?